Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I want to tell you about a case that is still unfolding, not because everything is known, but because the choices of one man and the legal strategies surrounding those choices show us how modern accountability works in real time. This is the case of Brian Walsh, a Massachusetts man indicted for the murder and dismemberment of his wife, Anna Walsh. Her body has never been recovered. But as the trial date draws closer, the evidence is mounting and the defense is reaching into every shadow they can find, including the scandal-plagued past of one investigator, hoping the system itself might cast enough doubt to save him. Because God knows, truth comes when you just cast enough doubt in other people's misdeeds. That means you're innocent, right? Shady person over here. Shady person over here equals innocence. Well, in some cases, that seems to be how it turns out. So you can't blame a defense attorney for trying, right? They're doing their job. Well, in this case, so far, the law is standing up and saying, doesn't work that way. Anna Walsh was last seen alive around New Year's Day in 2023. She was only 39 years old, a successful real estate executive, and mother of three young boys. Her job required her to split her time between the family's home in Cohasset, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C., where she worked full-time. Early accounts said that she left for a work emergency on January 1st. Because we all have work emergencies, especially in real estate. On January 1st, in the middle of the night, and she needed to board a flight to Washington, D.C. At least that was her husband's story. Good story, right? That'll work. Tell them that. Just like your fraudulent Warhol paintings that you were trying to sell online. He's a bright one. I mean, you look at the guy and you're like, something's up with this dude. I don't think all cylinders are firing quite right. But the story fell apart quickly. Investigators couldn't find a flight booked under her name. Might be helpful if that's going to be your story. Her cell phone was silent. Her credit cards and debit cards remained unused, and surveillance never captured her entering the airport or leaving her house. It became clear alarmingly fast that Anna hadn't gone anywhere, at least not willingly. On January 8th, Brian Walsh was arrested, not for murder, but for misleading investigators. Prosecutors said he'd lied about his whereabouts on January 1st and 2nd. He claimed he was running errands for his mother. What he was really doing, and surveillance footage caught him doing this. Well, it tells a very different story. He had bought hundreds of dollars worth of cleaning supplies. You know, like you do, spring cleaning, January 1st. Let's go get a bunch of stuff to clean up blood at the Home Depot. Oh, we don't do that? That's not part of your New Year's routine? Seems a little odd for him then, doesn't it? Mops, tarps, buckets. And he bought it in cash. Police also discovered a broken knife and bloodstains in the Walsh's family basement. Days later, he was charged with first-degree murder, misleading a police investigation, and improper conveyance of a human body. From the start, this was never going to be a clean trial. Brian Walsh came with baggage. A recent federal conviction for selling fake Andy Warhol paintings, like one does. Ongoing issues with the administration of his father's estate. But the legal battleground forming now isn't just about what Brian did. It's about who gets to say he did it and whether any of those people have stains of their own. The defense has made one thing very clear. They intend to argue that Brian Walsh can't get a fair trial in Norfolk County. Just, it's not fair. I mean, he has all those Google searches for, like, how to dispose of a body and how to inherit money, how long to inherit money after a death, how to look up his Google search history. We've done many of episodes on it. Just on our channel, look up Brian Walsh and Anna Walsh. You will find just the most shocking. I think he still gets the award for the most devastating Google searches of any case I have ever covered. They're insane. And then to say, I had nothing to do with this. Yeah. Their motion to change venue is built around two things. And maybe changing venue is fine. The overwhelming pretrial publicity and the suggestion that local law enforcement cannot be trusted. And if you follow the Karen Reed case, you know where that second argument is coming from. Trooper Michael Proctor. Proctor is the lead state police investigator, or he was, who was removed from the Karen Reed case after offensive and unprofessional text messages surfaced during court proceedings. The text showed a deep personal bias against Reed, using crude and inflammatory language to describe her, and suggesting he may have perjured her guilt before evidence was even collected. Proctor was disciplined, the case was shaken, and Norfolk County law enforcement was thrown under a harsh national spotlight. And deservedly so. Now, the defense in the Walsh case is trying to bring that shadow into their courtroom and say, well, this boogeyman over here, well, there's a boogeyman. You never know what the boogeyman's up to. Boogeyman could do anything, right? Woo! They've requested access to the Proctor files, which at some point I'm sure will be a Netflix miniseries. The full batch of texts, emails, and communications from the Karen Reed case, arguing that if any of those materials touch the Walsh investigation, they deserve to be reviewed. Their aim is to show a pattern of misconduct, or at least to suggest that it's possible. The goal is jury doubt. And when you get a case like this, that's about the only damn thing you can hope for. Not by clearing Brian Walsh's name, but by staining the badge of those who built the case around him. Here's the thing. The prosecution knows this. They've already said they won't call Proctor as a witness. And more importantly, much of the evidence against Brian Walsh doesn't rest on any one detective's word. It rests on the actions of Brian Walsh and his searches and his actions and the blood in the basement and the shopping trip. It's not about police notes. It's about cold technical data and traceable physical facts. The kind of evidence that speaks for itself. Start with the digital trail. Investigators recovered multiple electronic devices from Walsh's home, including one used by Brian and others belonging to his children. A forensic sweep found internet searches made in the hours and days following Anna's disappearance. And they weren't subtle. How long before a body starts to smell? How to dispose of a body? How to clean blood from a wooden floor? Can you be charged with murder without a body? These searches, prosecutors say, form the spine of their timeline. Conducted in the early morning hours of January 1st and continuing in clusters across the next few days. The defense tried to suppress that evidence, arguing that law enforcement had exceeded the scope of consent-based search agreement. As if there is such a thing when you're being looked into for the murder of your wife. They said some devices should never have been examined. The court agreed in part, excluding limited portions of GPS and call history data, but the most damning Google searches, well, they were ruled admissible. And that ruling, quietly handed down in July of 2025, solidified the state's case. Then there's the physical evidence. In the Swampscott dumpster near the home of Brian Walsh's mother, police recovered a pile of items tied to Anna through DNA testing and visual identification. A distinctive rug, a Gucci necklace, a colorful beaded chain, and a Hermes watch. The same one Anna was seen wearing in a photo taken on December 31st, just hours before her alleged murder. Prosecutors say the presence of those items in that location shows not just the aftermath of a crime, but an attempt to conceal it. The defense, again, is trying to draw a wedge between possession and guilt. But the evidence is tangible. Jurors can see that for themselves. All of this, the data, the DNA, the dumpster, exits outside the Proctor debate. It all exists out there. Even if the defense proves misconduct in the Karen Reed investigation, that doesn't change what Brian Walsh's search history shows and what ended up in the trash. And then that may be the state's biggest advantage. They've built a case that doesn't depend on trust in the system. It depends on the digital and physical choices Brian Walsh made, minute by minute, item by item, after Anna vanished. Those crimes, after the fact, are what is going to sink this idiot. His poor decision-making, number one. And then, number two, trying to conceal this the way that he did and being so stupid to search these things and think no one's going to look at it. That's what's going to sink this man. It's not a crooked cop from another case. It doesn't mean the trial will be clean. The defense is still fighting to exclude references to Brian's prior conviction for art fraud. Ooh, guess what? Fake Warhols aren't going to put you over the edge to spending the rest of your life behind bars. It's the whole, how to inherit, how long to inherit after death. It's those searches about, can you identify a body in certain ways after certain things have been done to it, in excruciating, gory detail, as searched by Brian Walsh on his own son's iPad. I don't think Proctor was in the house grabbing your son's iPad. How do I dispose of a body on January 1st, Brian? Nice try. It's kind of scary, though, you think about it. If he didn't make those searches, if he was a little smarter about it, he'd have a stronger argument. Because people without that would look at the go, oh, it's connected to Proctor. And you go, that's shady. Just like the Sandra Birchmore case. It's shady. And it's connected to crooked cops, who also happen to be part of the same ecosystem. So it's not hard to raise a red flag, and it's not inappropriate, I think, to raise a red flag when you have a pattern of behavior of bad police work. But it is important to recognize when we're actually talking about bad police work or bad people, because not all police work is bad, and not all police work is bad from a bad department. There are still rules of law. There are still people in these departments that do have the public's interest at heart. They're not all evil. Brian was sentenced to 37 months in federal prison for selling the forged Warhol paintings. And any mention of an old police report from 2011 or allegations surrounding his father's estate, they argue that stacking unrelated bad acts in front of the jury is prejudicial. The judge will need to decide where motive ends and character assassination begins. You don't need him. You don't need the Warhol. You don't need the estate issues. If you get him in, great. It ain't going to sink this case. Prosecutors say motive matters here. They're going to argue that Walsh believed Anna was going to leave him, that she had a boyfriend in D.C., that if she took the children, it would not only ruin his marriage, but destroy his leverage in federal court. He was still awaiting sentencing in the art fraud case at the time, and he had reportedly told investigators he believed he could avoid prison if Anna was around to care for the boys. They'll argue that he thought he'd inherit life insurance money if she died. None of this is proven yet, but it frames the prosecution's case. It's not about rage. It's about control. Control of Anna. Control of the narrative. Control of the outcome. And a big old lack of empathy. And I'm going to guess some pretty messed up personality disorder at play as well. Wild guess. And that's where this case intersects with something larger. We've seen a rising wave of public scrutiny over police misconduct in Massachusetts and beyond. The Karen Reed case turned the spotlight harshly onto law enforcement bias. Digital receipts, private messages, shaking the faith in every badge they touched. But even in that environment, even with that doubt, some cases hold their own gravity. Some crimes are so brutally documented, so digitally mapped, that no disgraced trooper can unravel them. That may be the Brian Walsh paradox. The more he tried to plan, the more permanent his digital trail became. The more he tried to hide, the more objects he left behind. His legal team will try to argue that law enforcement poisoned the well. But the jury will have to decide whether that's enough or whether Walsh poisoned it himself, one search at a time. Because in the end, this isn't just a case about what's admissible. It's a case about what's undeniable. And that may be the lesson here. In the age of forensic precision and digital performance, you can't always hide behind a broken system. Sometimes even the cops are dirty. The data is clean, and it tells the story for you. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you'll find us. And you can comment on all of our stories. That's what we love to hear is your thoughts. So please do weigh in and press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching us so you don't miss any of the cases we cover for you right here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. My name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it! Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do.
Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.